Hello, and welcome to your weekly episode of Nonfiction Friends. I'm your host, Josh, and I'm joined by my cohort here, Rebecca.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
This week we are talking about something rather important.
Yeah.
We're talking about voting, but we're talking about mainly like government, the history of political parties, things that you should probably know about if you're going to vote this year.
Yeah, maybe
you
boring.
Absolutely should.
But very important.
Very important. It's
a civic duty.
Yeah, duty.
Duty.
We're so mature. Anyway, we thought it would be important to talk about some of like the history of our government and political parties, so you can better understand and be more informed how to vote.
Yep.
And like what exactly
what voting means.
Yeah, what voting means and how important it is. And it's one of like our greatest like responsibilities that we have.
Yeah, democracy only works when you participate.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I should write that down. That was pretty good.
Yeah, let's quote that. Can we put it on a plaque somewhere?
Trademark.
Yeah, we'll 3D print it. Yeah, so I will be talking about political parties. I think Rebecca has branches of the U.S. government.
Branches of the U.S. government. Indeed. Quite.
Yeah.
Quite.
And then later we will talk about where you can go to find out like where you're voting, like voting locations, some dates, some important dates that you should have memorized.
Yes. The deadlines and stuff like that. So stay tuned for that information.
Yeah. So would you like to go first?
Sure. Yeah. My book is The Branches of the U.S. Government by Michael Bergen. And believe it or not, it is a children's book. I know we do children's books a lot.
Look, when you talk about branches of the U.S. government, you get an adult book about it. It gets very convoluted.
It's super complicated.
So to break it down more easy, you know.
Yeah, there's no harm in reading a children's book to get the point to the information as quickly as possible. So it's found in 320 of the nonfiction section. All right, let's just dive into it and hope that everybody stays awake.
You got this.
The branches of the U.S. government were created from a proposal by James Madison at the Constitutional Convention in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, in May of 1787. Hamilton fans may find that information familiar.
For this Constitutional Convention.
Exactly. The idea was a strong federal government that received its supreme power from the people, intended to spread the power between three branches: the legislative, the executive, and the judicial, each having specific rights and duties, and each limiting or approving what the other branches did for checks and balances, which is really important. That's how you make sure you don't get a clean sweep. James Madison proposed that the government had a legislature with two houses, one lower house elected by the people, and one upper house chosen by the members of the lower house. This is called Congress. Which I've always been really confused about Congress, so I learned a lot this week.
No, I mean, they don't, they teach a little bit about it in school, but it's still very hard to understand, especially when you're not part of, like normal, like systems, like, within the government. Like, you're not, like, you don't really participate, you know, as a child.
Yes. Yeah, it's one of the more mythical elements to the democratic system. It also created a single executive called the president, known as the commander-in-chief or the head of the military, and called for a federal judiciary, one Supreme Court, and any lower courts created by the Congress. And then the Constitution was sent to be ratified in September of 1787. So it took them, what, like, how many months is that? 4-5 months?
That's pretty fast.
Not bad, considering how much they did and how it's still in use today.
Yeah.
In 1791, a series of amendments to the Constitution called the Bill of Rights was created to further check government power and define basic rights that the government could not take away. So now getting into the branches of the U.S. government, you have the legislative branch, which is covered under Article 1 of the Constitution, where states send members to Congress. You've got the House of Representatives, which is a certain number of representatives from each state, depending on the population, elected by the voters and serving 2 years each. Then you have the Senate, which is two senators chosen by state lawmakers, and they serve 6 years. Both can introduce bills that must be approved by each house before reviewed by the president. The House leader is called the Speaker of the House, elected by the majority party. The Senate leader is called the Majority Leader, which is also elected by the majority party. And the vice president serves as the president of the Senate and only votes to break ties. Under the executive branch, covered under Article 2 of the Constitution, includes the vice president as well as departments that help the president carry out executive duties. Also includes, obviously, the president. Chosen by the Electoral College, made up by special electors from each state, and gives voters and state legislators a voice in the elections. So in the previous election, you may have noticed that the particular candidate that won lost the popular vote but won the electoral vote, because the electoral vote always carries more power.
Interesting.
Yeah. So each state gets the same number of votes as numbers of members in Congress, serving 4 years each. But the 22nd Amendment in 1951 limited the number of terms to two. So 4 years times two is eight.
Okay.
The only exception to the reason why it was started is because of FDR. He ran for three terms. Anyway, the executive branch can only be removed by impeachment, serves as the commander-in-chief of the U.S. military and state forces like the National Guard, can make treaties with foreign nations, can approve laws created by Congress, and the most important jobs go to the head of various executive departments created by Congress, such as the Department of Defense, Treasury, and Education. And the final branch, which I knew absolutely nothing about, is the judicial branch, made up of the Supreme Court and lower courts. The president chooses the judges approved by the Senate, and the cases must involve a federal law, international issues, or legal battles between two states or state and federal government. Decisions made by lower federal courts can be appealed or sent to a higher court for review, but decisions of the U.S. Supreme Court are final, and the most important duty is judicial review, the process of examining whether or not a law is constitutional.
Sure.
There you go.
Yeah.
We got through it.
We're here on the other side. I hope you learned something.
I learned quite a bit. I don't know about you guys, but when I was researching this, I was like, huh, who knew?
Who knew? Okay, so moving on to political parties.
It's a long one.
It is a long one. So
brace yourselves.
Buckle up.
Buckle up. Here we go.
The Democratic Republicans were the first modern political party created by James Madison and Thomas Jefferson. You know, you might know those people.
Also from Hamilton.
Yeah.
Well, right? That's it, right? That's all.
I like how we're talking about, like, from Hamilton, like it was like a movie or like a fantasy.
Right. These characters also known from Hamilton. Yeah.
Against Alexander Hamilton and the Federalists, like President George Washington and Vice President John Adams, they opposed the idea of a strong central government. By 1820, the party ran without major challengers, temporarily ended the two-party feuds, became an era of good feelings as the competition was only within the party itself.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Yeah, that's nice.
An era of good feelings.
Some good feelings.
Basically, they were unchecked by opposing views, but that's nice.
Yeah. ended with the 1824 election, beginning a volatile period of party labels and loyalties.
Uh-oh.
As naturally, you know, an unchallenged party, you know, something's going to happen there.
Not used to being challenged.
1828, the Jackson Party, soon to be known as the Democrats, defeated President Adams of the National Republicans and threw out all the supporters. 1836 to 1852, the Whig Party.
Whigs.
Where they all wore wigs.
With an H.
Oh.
Whigs.
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 Replaced the National Republicans as the main opposition to the Democrats. Did they all wear wigs?
Is
that confirmed?
Wigs and wigs are different.
Fair enough.
Whigs.
Third parties were the Liberty and Free Soil Parties.
Free Soil Party. All right.
Free Soil. Would you like some free soil?
I would like some free soil. Thank you.
Oh,
I have some succulents that need free soil.
You don't take very good care of succulents, I don't think.
Listen.
And in 1854, the Republican Party was formed as a major alternative to the Democrats. By 1856, the Whigs had all but dissolved.
Oh.
No more Whigs.
No more Whigs. Thank the gods.
By 1860, Abraham Lincoln wins as the first Republican president. Democrats and Republicans have dominated the American electoral politics ever since then. No other party's candidate has won the presidency or gained the majority in Congress.
Mm-hmm.
the issues that have divided the parties and the compositions of their electoral coalitions have changed again and again, naturally.
Naturally.
The electoral coalitions that remained stable throughout the first quarter of the 20th century were shattered by the Great Depression of 1929 and the two parties' responses to that crisis.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Former Republicans became ardent Democrats and vice versa.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Polarizing time.
Yeah. 1932, Franklin Delano Roosevelt wins presidency as a Democrat in opposition against Herbert Hoover's reelection in an effort of change. He advocated policies that emphasize government intervention in economic and deficit spending to stimulate economic growth in a New Deal.
Mm-hmm.
Might sound familiar.
The famous New Deal.
Public perception of his policies changes electoral politics for decades to come.
Mm-hmm.
Democrats were supported by labor union members, small farmers, minorities, the poor, and those fighting for equal rights.
Yeah.
Republicans became the party of big business and the affluent.
So basically still the same.
Yeah. More or less, you start to see what we are today.
Yeah.
The New Deal continued to dominate American politics into the 1960s. Broke gradually as different issues were confronted and its citizens' memories faded. Republican candidate Goldwater broke Democratic dominance of the South. Traditional blue-collar citizens moved to the Republican Party as the Democratic Party opposed the Vietnam War. Democrats became associated with what was viewed as some extreme social positions.
Mm-hmm.
Republican Ronald Reagan brought some more conservative Democrats. They switched parties and voted Republican. With strong defense, lower taxes, cutting welfare programs, and supporting traditional social values.
Mm-hmm.
The end of the century saw the rise of conservative Christians as a political force. They favored Democrats for economic reasons, but voted Republican.
Mm-hmm.
Partisan politics have become increasingly bitter ever since.
Yeah.
Politicians emphasize more extreme positions on wedge issues that further divide the country. Government has become more involved in citizen lives, and those lives have become more complex and involved in global community. Now, my book, American Political Parties and Elections.
It's a big boy book.
Yes, it is a big boy book. Small in size, big in
information.
Information. It's called A Very Short Introduction by Sandy Maisel. Can be found in 324.973. And it's more like a, I would say, like Cliff Notes
version. Cliff Notes, yeah.
Cliff Notes version of like political parties.
Yeah. Nice. It's interesting how history repeats itself when you when you go back and look at it.
Circular.
Yeah.
But, so now you can see like a bit of a bigger picture of how we got to where we are today.
Yes.
How
we've changed.
How we've changed from, and how we've reacted to different crises in the past.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And how that formed like the political parties that you see today.
Yes.
It
would be interesting to see because like Abraham Lincoln was a Republican at the time.
Right.
But they've gone through so many changes as a party. It'd be interesting to see which party he was a part of today.
Right. It would, yeah. I think most, like, earlier presidents would be...
Would be different.
Surprised.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah, but with that in mind, it is very important to vote.
It is very important to vote.
And it's super easy to sign up to vote if you haven't registered to vote already. It's super easy. All of our libraries have voters registration forms in them.
Yes.
That we can actually send out for you.
Yes. So you don't even need a stamp.
Yeah. If not, you can always vote online.
Yes.
Register to vote online.
Yeah.
Register it's very to vote easy. Online. You can even sign up to vote by mail.
Yes. Which is even easier. You don't even have to go anywhere.
Easier. You don't know long lines.
Drop off your ballot.
You don't have to worry about social distancing or, you know, wearing your mask out in public. You can actually just vote from the comfort of your own home and stay safe and, you know, quarantined.
Yes.
I actually vote by mail, and they still give you your sticker saying that you voted. So
nice. This is going to be my first year voting by mail.
Yeah. I early voted for the
presidential preference election?
Yes, mm-hmm. I did that for the presidential preference and for the this the recent one, the one that's coming up.
The primary?
Yes. And I did that. You can actually track your ballot online as well. It tells you like when it was received, when it's being processed, and then when it's being counted.
Very cool.
So
I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's like tracking a package, but it's your vote.
But it's your vote, which is very important. You can go to vote.gov, G-O-V, to find information on getting a voting by mail form. You can find your location for you to vote based on your county. Yeah.
And you can even find there to the form to change your political party if you so desire.
Yeah. Although make sure the deadline that you meet the deadline for that.
There are different deadlines that you should be aware of.
Yes.
We have the deadlines for the voting and early voting for this year.
Yes. Yep. So the primary election is going to be on August 18th. The mail-in ballots for that are going to be, those are already done. So then the early voting is until the 15th of August. So if you're listening to this podcast, you have until the end of this week to do that. If not, voting on August 18th is your option. The general election is November 3rd, with early voting on October 24th through the 31st. The deadline to register to vote for that election is October 5th. And the deadline to get your mail-in ballots submitted is September 24th through the 1st for domestic voters. That means if you are in the country, if you need to vote absentee ballots, so if you're a military serviceman stationed overseas, or if you are in a different country, you need to submit your ballot by September 19th.
Very good information. And you can always find that on vote.gov.
Yes.
Yeah, in case you need to like write it down, make sure you memorize that. Also, on vote.gov, you can find out your voting locations.
Yes.
Keep in mind that they do change often. The Hart Kissimmee Library used to be a voting location, but it is no longer one.
It is not one.
Instead, it is the Civic Center.
Yes.
The only library that is a voting location this year is the West Osceola Library in Celebration.
Mm-hmm.
So just keep in mind your voting locations may change. Just keep up to date and like where to go, or if you're dropping off your ballot, where those ballot boxes are located. So
yeah, if you have any questions, feel free to stop by the library. Like I said, we do have those forms and we can mail them off for you. We can always help you access the information by getting you on a computer.
Yeah, we can definitely point you in the right direction.
But if you're coming to drop off your ballot, we're just going to turn you right around and tell you to go across the street.
Yep.
Which we don't mind doing.
Yeah. All right.
There we go. We got through it.
Yeah. We hope you guys feel more informed going into this year's voting process. And we hope that you are registered. And we hope that you will exercise your right to vote.
Vote.
Please go do so. But remember, we love our listeners.
And that's nonfiction, friends.
Go vote.